Welcome to Westgate Messages Plus, where we share our Sunday messages and bonus content. We hope you enjoy this deeper dive into God's Word and how it transforms our everyday lives. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Hopefully you had a good summer and are ready for the Labor Day to kind of transition into the fall. My wife, Delana, and I had the opportunity to go on a cruise to Alaska this summer. So, yes. And that leads me to the 100% of the time when I told people I'm going to Alaska, it was, oh, that's on our bucket list, or we've did that, or it's wonderful. And it was. It was wonderful. God's creation is just beautiful, from the water to the trees to the animals to whatever. The other thing is probably 90% of the people ask follow-up questions. Where are you going? What cruise are you going on? That kind of thing, which really surprised me. And so I decided I'm going to have that conversation once with a couple hundred of you this morning instead of a couple hundred and one. So yes, we went on the Inner Passage. Yeah, it was a round trip from Seattle. So we got on Seattle, went, did a round trip back to Seattle. Princess Cruise Line was the one we used. We didn't go as far as Anchorage. Nope, we just were south of there on that Inner Passage. And one of the highlights was Glacier Bay, which practically named itself. It's a bay with some glaciers. And so we didn't even get off the boat that day, or ship. I'll use ship and boat interchangeably. If that matters to you, I apologize ahead of time. It's the same thing for those of you not interested in ships and boats. But approximately 4,000 of our closest friends were on this boat with us. And in addition to like 1,500 employees, it was crazy. And so from 58 countries, the employees were. So we went to Glacier Bay, and we didn't even get off the boat that day, but we just went in, and there's only two ships a day that can go in there. And then we just kind of did a 360 watching the glaciers. It was incredibly beautiful. So it was exciting and fun. We had a great time. And in addition to the beauty of creation, the cruise lines are all about hospitality. From the time you walk on that ship, if you have a pang of hunger, they have options for you. If you want to do activities when you're off the ship, sure. You want to do activities when you're on the ship, great. All of that kind of thing. In fact, they even had a big old section of their lobby that was to book your next cruise. I thought, oh, there you go. And apparently there's lots of people that do that because they offer discounts. And the idea of the cruise line is they just want to get faithful customers. And they want to be impressive and say, this is worth your time to come, and we'll entertain you, we'll feed you, we'll meet you every need. And they have this cool thing. We got little fobs that I have on this morning. It has my name right on it. It's engraved. And then it opens the door. When I walk around the corner, my door unlocks, so my picture shows up. And we could get food and that kind of thing and identify ourselves with the fob. And then we had an app that you could get on, and if you're sitting on the side of the pool, which we didn't because it was 60 degrees in Alaska in July, but if we were, we could be sitting on the side of the pool and go on our app and go, you know, I could use a hamburger right now. And they would find me with my fob, and they would come and deliver my hamburger to exactly where I was. So we're thinking about getting these at Westgate, and so we can track you, and we know when you're here and when you leave, and not really. But there's a tendency. There's some good parts about that. Well, and part of the identity for me with that is because part of my role changed some this summer, or through this year, and part of my new role is hospitality. And hospitality ends mostly on Sunday mornings when you're coming in, who's greeting you, coffee corner, excuse me, that kind of thing. How do we give you a positive experience as you walk in? And as I was doing some research, because I hadn't been really in charge of that before, and so I was doing some research to make sure I knew what I was doing, and I read that one author said, you know, churches should preach about hospitality. I thought, well, that's interesting. That's never occurred to me before. And so I thought, I should ask Kevin Meyer I don't know if he's ever preached on hospitality. I don't remember, but we could. And my second thought was, I'm preaching September 3rd. I could talk about hospitality. So we're going to talk about hospitality. And just to give you a warning, I'm going to jump randomly right into the sermon and randomly right out of the sermon. So transitions are not my strong point this morning. So here we go. First thing we should know about biblical hospitality is a thing. You look at throughout the Bible, whether it's Old Testament, Abraham, he's welcoming strangers, feeding people, being a part of a community, through the Old Testament, through some of the stuff Kevin talked about this morning with Jesus and his ministry, and then Paul and the end. Even when you get to Titus, one of the later books, it lists a list of qualifications for leaders or elders in the church, and it lists, and they should be hospitable. And it caught me off guard because it's this whole list of, hey, you're going to be a leader, and this is one of the things that's important, is being hospitable. So they're going to follow up on that. Did we mention there's food trucks next week? There's food trucks next week, and in addition to that, there's Honey and Mackey ice cream. And so the leadership board, some of the people and their spouses are going to serve the Honey and Mackey to you. The Honey and Mackey is free. The food trucks are at your expense. If that's an issue for you, I try to say this every year, but if that's an issue for you and financially you're just not at that point, then come to me. I'll be wandering around out there all day. Come to me and say, hey, you mentioned that you might be able to help financially, and I'll give you money. It's true. And you don't have to tell your story. I don't need to know why you're financially struggling. There's no qualifications. It's just if we, our hospitality, it's really important to us that you are a part of that, and you can come to the community whether you have money or not. So the other dynamic I think I'm trying to protect you is the ice cream is free, so we don't want you to just, I mean, it might be pleasurable if you're eating just ice cream for lunch, but that rarely works out well long term. And so we'd like to help you in that aspect. But yeah, let me know if that is something you need. No questions asked. That's part of our being a community. We'll see a slide on the slide that 1 Peter 4:8 talks about this. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And you often see that love and hospitality put together, because that's part of love, that we're expressing that and we're sharing that. And I'm going to talk three different levels of that hospitality this morning, and I'm kind of going to do it interchangeably, and so I just want to give you a little definitions before I get too far in. First of all, we have a church body. That's you guys. That's, if you attend here regularly or whatever, you're a church body. Sometimes we refer to it as church family. But if you're visiting with us this morning, we'd love for you to be a part of the church body, the church family. But beyond that, there's also a body of Christ. That is, if we've shown in slide, Colossians talks about the body of Christ. It says, Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. And so part of the body of Christ, we just want to have the definition of understanding that, hey, this is about us serving Jesus, us believing in Jesus. We took communion as identifying with him, being obedient to him. And there's a piece of that that goes beyond just this church to the body of Christ. And we can be a body of Christ with people around the world, or a body of Christ with just the people that we come in contact with. There's also a term that oftentimes is used, and it relates to hospitality a little bit, is the kingdom of God. And I just wrote some bullets on that. The kingdom of God is a spiritual rule over the hearts and lives of those who willingly submit to God's authority. Those who acknowledge the lordship of Christ and gladly surrender to God's rule in their hearts. The kingdom of God is spiritual. Jesus said his kingdom was not of this world, and he preached that repentance is necessary to be part of the kingdom of God. And so there's a sense of hospitality, of welcoming you into something, and I'm using the term just welcoming or inviting, and it could be or meeting a need or a service. So I'm using a very broad term in any of those avenues. Because we can welcome you into the church body this morning, and we would like to do that, and hopefully somebody greeted you at the door and you served you coffee and things like that. But it doesn't stop there. The reality is we want to serve and look at God, Christ as a leader of our church, as the head of our church. We're part of the kingdom of God, and so any of those terms I'm going to somewhat use interchangeably this morning, and I just wanted you to be kind of aware of that. So hospitality is a thing is the first thing. Hospitality in the church needs to be more than just a 501c3. A 501c3 is an IRS designation that simply says we're a nonprofit and we're doing charitable purposes. So you can have 501c3s can be religious, they can be charitable, scientific, public safety, education, like our schools are a 501c3. And so you can have a 501c3 that does charitable things, and we do that. We have a building. We have to allow classes and education stuff. We seek to help people when we can. And so we function as a 501c3. But if we limit it to that, then we're missing that body of Christ. Then we're missing the kingdom of God. And so our goal is not to be a 501c3 that does charitable things, because hospitality is a thing beyond our church body. And so it needs to be more than a 501c3. And you've heard about this through the last several weeks. Luke Broder talked about, you know, in times of need, people came and brought him food. Luke also has a strong heart and a passion for what are we doing with neighbors in our community, and how do we practice hospitality, whether they come in this building or whether they don't. Becca Redman a couple of weeks ago talked about the joy that comes from experiencing the face of God. And God invited us to have a relationship with him and experience him and have intimacy in him and have the Holy Spirit work in our lives. That's the body of Christ. That's the kingdom of God that goes beyond a 501c3. Kevin Meyer talked a couple weeks ago about humility. If we're going to walk into the body of Christ and the kingdom of God, we have to be humble and be coachable and learn from other people and limit ourselves sometimes in order to be hospitable for others. Peter Kapsner last week talked about that, about the hesed, that is a kingdom of love that happens in community, that results in the fruits of the Spirit. And I loved his illustration when he talked about, so fruits of the Spirit, maybe you've seen them on little, it's a perfect sign that goes in offices or church walls or something, that love is, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, some of those kind of things. And Peter pointed out that that's not the number of fruits you get. That's one fruit from the Holy Spirit, and he talked about it bursts out. Can you imagine when you're experiencing God in a way that the fruits of the Spirit, patience, love, kindness, self-control, burst out of you? I love that image. And so we do that through many areas. You know, we had a church picnic this summer. You can have a church picnic as a 501c3, and we have a community, and we get together, and it was fun, and we have food. But we also pair that with a baptism, where people come and they say, I am being baptized because I'm excited about God. I have a relationship with him, and I want people to know that, and I want to talk about that hospitality included in that. We did that several times through the summer. It can be as simple as we had a food drive for FreedomWorks. FreedomWorks is a ministry partner that works with people coming out of prison, and they need to eat, and their neighbors need to eat. And so it was an easy way for us to have you guys bring some food, and we brought it down to them so that they can do the ministry, so they can provide the hospitality to people. And as they come, they can know that they are loved and they are cared for. And that's just really a great picture of hospitality. Recently, we did that for Hospitality Center, which is an organization that works with international students down at the University of Minnesota. We have thousands of international students come to the U every year. And Hospitality Center partners with them, and they come with no stuff. So they give them furniture. We gave them hangers and teapots and forks and knives and things like that, in order to say, we want you to know that you are welcome to the University of Minnesota, but we also want to show you the hospitality of the kingdom of God, of the body of Christ. We want to tell you about a God who loves us enough that we want to love you because of some of the things he's done for us. So if hospitality is a thing, hospitality needs to be more than a 501c3, I think we got to talk about what are some hurdles to hospitality. And so those of you who know me will not be surprised that I brought a hurdle this morning. I was going to do the hurdle, but I didn't wear my tennis shoes, so sorry. But my dad, who's 5'5", used to run high hurdles in high school. Yeah. He said he was really good in between the hurdles, and he would catch up with people, and then he would lose speed going over the hurdle, which is understandable. Well, if you aren't familiar with hurdles, it's part of a track, running meet thing, and so you have a track that's 400 meters in an oval, and the goal is to run certain distances as fast as you can. Well, that doesn't sound hard enough, so they invented this thing called relays, where you'd have a team, and you give you a little stick called a baton, and you have to run as fast as you can, and at full speed, hand it to somebody who's just starting to run without dropping it. And you only have a certain amount of space to do. And if that's not hard enough, they thought, what if we put a hurdle in there? And we run that same distance, and we make you jump things while you're there. So one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen with the Olympics is the 400 hurdles, the high hurdles, because the hurdles are adjustable. So you can just make them as big as you want. And so that's a high hurdle. And people are running 400 meters, and they show a shot of it from the top, and you can't even tell they encounter a hurdle. They're so smooth, and they just go over, and that hurdle is nothing to them. And I love the illustration because the other thing is hurdles are designed so if you do hit them, they just pop right back up. They're not going anywhere. You're not getting rid of them. If you say, well, if I hit the hurdle, now I don't have to do that anymore. And if we think about it related to hospitality, I think we have lots of hurdles that we can jump through, we need to jump through and deal with. And I'm just going to read a random list of them, not very many, but I would love for you to be in a prayerful position of saying, God, what is the hurdle in my life? Because the reality is we all have different ones. And something that's a hurdle for me, you may have no problem with. And there's something that's really difficult for someone else, you may also have struggle with. We just never know. So we live in a culture that is values individuality, values personal excellence, personal growth, personal finance. And oftentimes when we start saying, how do we relate to other people? How do we serve other people? How do we be hospitable to others? We have hurdles. And some of us, it's time. We're booked. How am I going to reach out and welcome somebody else? How am I going to put myself in a position to serve other people, provide for their need? I don't have time for that. Others of us have some sin patterns that get in the way. We want to be obedient to God. We want to serve him, but we really like the sin that we're stuck with. Some of us, it's a selfishness. It's inconvenient. I don't want to do that. Some of us is our focus on my significance. If I reach out to somebody else and bring them in, then I may not be as significant in that role. Some of us, and I think this is a huge one, struggle with forgiveness. I can't forgive that person. And the Bible's pretty clear. You need to be a forgiving person. And as you experience the body of Christ, as you experience the kingdom of God, as you experience community in believers and people who believe in Jesus and are obedient to him, one of the obedient pieces is to be forgiving. So just a small advertisement as I stop and talk about forgiveness. Mark Henderson and Mike Snuffer are two people that have worked extensively in our counseling ministry, and they wrote a book called a book about forgiveness. And so it just came out, and so we'd love for you to, if you have some trouble with forgiveness, I love how Mark and Mike dealt with that and deal with that. We also will have a learning circle in the fall about that Mike will lead. And when I was talking to Mike about it, and one of the dynamics is Mark Henderson passed away several years ago from cancer. And I love the conversation I used to have with Mark, as he would say, I walk into places and I go get my hair cut. And I'll sit down and the woman will go, yeah, my marriage is really in trouble. He goes, why are you telling me this? And he said it just was that part of his hospitality, his reaching out to people, his body of Christ, was he was regularly counseling people. And Mike encouraged me that, you know, there's a significant number of population in this room, potentially, who were touched by Mark Henderson in his counseling, who continue to be touched by Mike and Mary Snuffer and the rest of the counseling team. And Mike and Mary travel internationally and talk about this and talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a huge hurdle to people. And so we want to provide some options for that and just put you in a position to experience God. A lot of times when you come in, as Kevin referred to a little bit, there's an external and an internal part of that. Some people that come in, one of the hurdles is they don't know what we're talking about. So it's really important we don't use internal language, because we want to welcome them and care for them. And then if we have a clique inside of our church, then that's hard to be hospitable to the church body. What if you're not a believer? What if you don't get this thing? What if you have pain from past church or faith experiences? Christians are great at hurting people sometimes. And it's just sad how we churches can hurt people in pain and cause that distance. When God calls us to be hospitable, to be welcoming, to be invitational, to be in community, to experience him as a body of Christ, to experience him in a kingdom of God. Some of us, it's personality. My mom, if she goes to church, if she comes into this church and walks out of this church and nobody talks to her, she's ticked. Frustrates her no end. How can churches not say hi to people? My dad, kind of just assume you'd not say anything to him because there's a potential you would ask him some theology thing or talk about something deep thinking. You talk Vikings and Gophers, he's in. Great win on Thursday, by the way, for the Gophers. So, well, by the skin of their teeth, but it will take the win. And so some of it is personality. What does hospitality look like? A hurdle for my dad is he's going to worry about theology. A hurdle for my mom is she's not going to be very patient if you don't say hi to her. It's a struggle for both of them in different ways. Some of us, it's trust issues. Some of us, it's preferences. The church doesn't do it the way we want. The service is too late. It's too early. It's too long. It's too short. They talk about weird things. They're not concerned about me, any number of things. And so what's our approach to hurdles? Some of us just decide, I'm going to run through it. Because it's designed that I can run through it, and it'll pop back right up next time you come by. Shoot, it's back there. And you can run through, and people do, if you've been to middle school hurdle races. The hurdle is an integral part of the experience. The problem with hitting the hurdle and running and thinking, oh, I finished the race, well, not very well. And there's odds are there's damage to you, to the other people in the race. It's a huge issue. And so some people can just pretend, oh, I can do the race and it's fine. It's no problem. Yeah, it is a problem. I think we're kidding ourselves if that's the case. Some of us look and say, I'm only going to be selective in my hurdles. So I'll forgive everybody else, but I can't forgive my neighbor. So I'm just going to hit a hurdle every once in a while whenever I meet my neighbor. Yeah, I think that's a challenge with hospitality. God is not about picking and choosing. God is about incredible relationships that are community-based, that are forgiving, that are experiencing him. Some of us have figured out that if we work really hard at it, we can lower that hurdle. So we go and say, yeah, forgiveness used to be an issue for me. Now it's much less of an issue. So I can almost crawl over that if I needed to. I'm not gonna, so don't be pretender. Because almost is a word that I would use for me. I can almost get over this hurdle just crawling over it. And there is an ability to say, we're going to do better. We're going to challenge ourselves, and we're going to focus on that. And I'm just use forgiveness as an example. And we can forgive people for a while or a little bit. But for us to experience God and to see other people like God sees them, that hurdle has to go away. And God can do that for us in exciting ways. I'm going to jump to 2 Corinthians. I think I skipped a verse earlier, so if we can show the 2 Corinthians slide. And this is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Many of you are familiar with the old is gone, the new has come. And so I'm going to read it in the message, so it might sound a little different for you. Our firm decision is to work from this focus center. One man, and they're referring to Jesus here, died for everyone. That put everyone in the same boat. He included everyone in his death so that everyone also could be included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. And so you see the hospitality, as Kevin referred to this morning. Jesus is inviting us into his death and resurrection. He's inviting us to get the Holy Spirit and interact with the Holy Spirit in ways that the fruit of the Spirit shows in our life. And continuing in verse 16 there, because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We look at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside. And what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone. A new life emerges. Look at it. God is talking about an old life and a new life. The old life is a hurdle. We got hurdles that we just can't get over because we're doing it in our power. The new life that comes and the old is gone and the new has come is Jesus comes alongside of us and says, let me help you with that. Let me heal that pain that you've had. Let me teach you what forgiveness looks like in exciting ways. And then the final verse I'm going to look at there, it says, all this comes from God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationship with each other. I love that verse. Because God settled the relationship between us and our sin and our struggle and our obedience and our presence in the kingdom of God. And now our goal is to not only maintain that relationship, but settle our relationship with each other. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful illustration. And finally, I want to encourage you to excel in your lane. Because God gave us specific gifts. We're going to look at 1 Peter 4 again. I'm going to add another verse to it. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And then this is the add-on. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. God gave you gifts and ability. Excel in that lane. Now, it doesn't mean you can't move out of that lane. I'm not saying stay in your lane. I'm saying excel in your lane. If you are the kind of person that loves people and has a great smile and are friendly and outgoing and get energized by being around people, you should join us at the doors. You should be welcoming people and smiling and saying, welcome, we're excited you're here. If you love kids and there's some deep passion that says, by me teaching a child about God, I'm moving them and putting them in a position to be touched by God potentially in their life. If that makes sense to you, go serve in the kids ministry. It's awesome. It's exciting. If you're sitting here today and go, yeah, this is fine, but there's just too many people. What I really revel in is if I can get one or two people and interact with them, then go be a part of a small group. We're looking for small group leaders so we can have small groups to grow and be intimate and grow together. If you're a deep thinker, then go be a deep thinker. Part of my challenge is I don't have any problem saying this is how the hurdle illustrates what God is doing. That comes naturally to me. I'm not a great deep thinker. So I often need other people, like in books about hospitality, that say, hey, you should preach about hospitality. And it takes me 10 minutes to realize, hey, wait a minute, I could preach. So if you're a deep thinker and you understand God in a deep way, be a deep thinker and understand God in a deep way. And I'll glean from that, and I'll learn from your ability. Now, sometimes we just got to move lanes. So today I'm preaching. You'll see me once or twice a year, typically on Labor Day weekend. My wife works at a school, so we're done with the summer. So I often will fill in so others can do their summer. I like preaching. I think it's fun. I think God gives me things to say. It's a great, fun way for me to share what God has been teaching me. But that's not what he's called me to do. That's not my lane that I'm staying in. If you want to talk personality, maybe a little strength finder, then you got an hour and a half, I'm in. That's my lane. And oftentimes that conversation ends with something like, so you want to get together again and talk about it? Because this is kind of fun. So what is your lane? Can you excel in? And there's some lanes that you go next to it and say, this isn't my true lane, but that's fine, I'm doing this. Some lanes are way off because you just got to do it. Sometimes there's parts of life where you don't get to choose your lane. My example for that is as I mentioned, I'm supervising a coffee shop. I don't drink coffee. This whole entertainment around coffee, the depth and the different kinds, and it bores me to death. Someday you will see me working in the coffee corner. And because somebody was sick, somebody wasn't coming, somebody didn't show up, it's desperate times, ladies and gentlemen. Because when I go order coffee for my wife, I tell her, say all the words, and then I say, literally, did I get all the words I needed? Because there's latte and grande and half calf and espresso, and I don't care. It just bores me to death. But I will work in that coffee shop because there are people in this room that care greatly about coffee. And it's a way for me to be hospitable, not in the lane that God has gifted me in, but in a lane that's required. So excel in your lane. And if you don't know how to do that, then pray about that. If you don't know how to do that or what your lane might be, ask some other people. It's amazing how much people understand each other going, but you're really good at this. Even when people are going, really? I think I'm good at that? Or pay attention to what you enjoy. Part of what we're talking about in community is bringing joy and and fruitfulness and excellence. And those are the things that, God has gifted you in. And practice. Use some of those ways to excel in your lane. So as this series has been about flourish, and so we've, at the end, have had a statement from each person that spoke about, I will help this community flourish by, that we would love for you to challenge yourselves to do that. The last one there is by practicing hospitality in ways God has gifted me. If you do that, then this community, this body of Christ, or this body of church body, excels. If you do that, then the body of Christ can be evident in amazing ways. The kingdom of God we can be a part of that, where we are walking into God's presence. He is our King, He is our Lord and Savior, and we are His people. And that's what we're about. That's what the hospitality, that's why you see Jesus walking in and washing His disciples' feet and all of the things in the Bible that talk about that. So we'd love to help you, encourage you to help this community flourish. Okay, that was the end. Now I'm going to transition abruptly out. I told you. I told you. Today was not the day for transitions. But some of that is because of real life. So a number of you have heard over the past few weeks, and maybe you haven't heard it here, maybe you've heard it somewhere else, there's a real crisis in Pakistan right now. Christians are being persecuted. They've burned hundreds of houses, 26 churches, schools, cemeteries, you name it. They have been attacking Christians and persecuting them. And we are fortunate we are not having to do that. And so this sort of ties into hospitality, but I'm not going to pretend it's raw hospitality. It's just raw, be obedient to what God calls us to do. So Tanbir, who I saw in here somewhere, works with a group called Savior's Mission International. It's local ministry that works with Pakistan. So what we have done is we are going to take some funds. If you want to go online on our webpage or on our app and give to Pakistan, that will go directly to our Savior's Mission International, and then Tanbir will facilitate that to the people in Pakistan. Basically, it's things like food, transportation. They can buy bikes for $50. Bikes will last 15 years. If you're hiding out in places, oftentimes the heat is an issue, so they're talking about getting some fans, talking about getting some things to cook with, talking about getting some groceries. So they can use any help that they can get. And so often you will hear us talk about what God leads you to give, give. So we're giving you that opportunity. If you go on the web or the app, it's just a drop down when you say, I want to give my $50 or $5,000 or how many ever bucks. You can click on the drop down and give to the general fund or the counseling, and one of the options is Pakistan. So we'd love to for you to be a participate with that. You can also give checks or cash in the donation things here if you just put a note on it for that. So again, there wasn't a great way to transition to that, but that's real life, and that's what we're dealing with. And one of the hurdles we have is how do we imagine what that's like? That somebody comes to our house because you're a Christian and says, we're burning it. We're beating you up. That's a tough way to live. And so we want to be a resource for that, and we want to give you the opportunity to do that. Kevin now is going to say some stuff.
No. I just, we're going to close this service, and so you can stand, but I do want to say this as you're standing. We're really glad you're back, Mike.
Thanks.
Thank you. And Mike is really fun to work with. One of the things he's got a gift of is adaptability. He has the ability to help get you in the right places and to do different things like that. So we are serious. We really want to be a church that flourishes, and one of those areas is hospitality. If you would like to help with coffee or you would like to help as a greeter or parking lot or any of those areas, if the Lord's just kind of nudging you that way, please see Mike. We're really excited about what God is doing among us. Pray about this next Sunday, this next fall. We desire to God to be here in ways that are beyond what we can do or imagine, and we expect that because in faith he calls us to do that. So let's pray. Father, thank you for Mike. Thank you for the gift he is to our body. Thank you for the people here. Thank you for the way that you are working in our body. And we do, as Mike said, we would like to flourish. So wherever you have gifted us, if there's a way that we can use those gifts, find our lane and excel in it, and be open to be used in other lanes, help us do that, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. God bless.